You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
All right, well, hey, welcome to Word 3, Kings and Prophets. We are on the third week of this series. There is a handout, a house lights, you want to hit them for me. There is a handout that you need to have because, remember when I said we have plenty of time? Yeah, that'll change. You're going to need that handout to follow along. But what we're doing here is an overview of a segment of the Bible. Looking at kind of how it all fits together, and we have a timeline here. I want to tell you that if you don't have a handout, just put your hand up, and our First Impressions team will make sure that you get one. There will be a handout every week. Okay, so a handout, so these guys up here need one, if you can get one up here, and there's a couple over there, too. Just also, by the way, the title at the top of the handout is wrong. I forgot to change it from last week, so it should be Three Conquerors, not Three Kinds. So we're going to fly through the intro. Again, this is review over the last few weeks. And then next week, like I'm hanging this carrot out on the stick, next week we'll have some time to slow down. And the next week, actually, the room will be entirely different because we're going to do some things differently next week. So here we go with some review on Kings and Prophets. Let's talk about how the Bible is broken down, at least the Old Testament. We already talked about how there are 39 books in the Old Testament. O-L-D-T-E-S-T-A-M-N-T, 3-9-39. Talk about there are 27 books in the New Testament. N-E-W-T-E-S-T-A-M-N-T, 3-9, 3 times 7, 3 times 9 is 27. So let's look at the Old Testament specifically. First of all, and I think you bring up what's next. What's up? Okay, so here, what do we call this segment of the Old Testament? Yell it out. History, right. This is the major section of history, and it's broken down into two parts. What is the first part? The first five books of the Bible are called the Pentateuch. And then what do we call the rest of those other 17 books there? No, 12 books there. Just history. Yeah, we just kind of call that history too. So history is broken down. Then we've got a next section, the next five books of the Bible. What do we call these five? Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Poetry, right, poetry. Very good. And again, this is review from the first week. And then the last segment here, we've got Isaiah through Malachi, and what do we call these? Prophecy, prophets, right. And it's broken down into two segments. The first five are, what do we call? They're kind of longer than other ones, so we call them the major prophets. And then the other ones dig tunnels underground, and so we call them the minor prophets. Actually, it has nothing to do with the fact that they dig tunnels, but the fact that those books are a little bit smaller. In terms of length in the Bible. So last week, we kind of looked at a few things over the last few weeks of this series. We've looked at this. I think that's what's next. Should be like some circles. Yeah. Okay, so we're zooming in this series on 1 Samuel through 2 Chronicles, brought us to this point last week. By the way, this is a little bit more to scale, but not great. Okay, so we zoomed in on that, and again, you can find The Point, mc3church.org. Click on Listen to The Point, click on the Word 3 logo, and you can listen to last week's, and that handout is there for you to complete if you need to do that. So we talked about this last week. We talked about these books of poetry. Psalms through Song of Solomon were written by those kings down there. Okay, so we're going to look at these final 17 books over this week, and mostly this week, and then some next week. But we're going to look at prophets. So let's zoom in a little bit more on the backstory and talk about catching you up to speed. So the backstory, we talked about creation. We haven't talked about this at all in this series, but we talked about this in Word, the original version. You can find that online as well. But the first part of the story is creation. God creates the heavens and the earth. He creates the world. There's sin separates people from God. And then God calls a man named Abraham and says, you are going to be the father of a great nation. You're going to be the first of a great nation called the Israelites. And that we call that the patriarchs, and then these people go ahead and they serve God, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Joseph leads the people into Egypt to protect them from a famine that's coming. And they've been in Egypt for 400 years, and finally the Egyptian leaders, Pharaoh, oppresses them, and they say, hey, let us go. And they say, okay, God says, all right, I'm going to send Moses to deliver you from those people, and that we call the Exodus. Then those people go, and God says, I'm going to send you this land that I promised Abraham, and you can go in that land, it'll be your land. The people get ready to go into the land, they're like, no, it's too big and scary. So God says, okay, fine. You're going to wander in the desert for 40 years until you die off, till that generation dies off, and your kids will get to go in. So we get the fourth part is the conquest. Joshua, Moses dies off. Joshua leads, Joshua leads the people into the land. We call that the conquest area. Once they settle the land, then God raises up 16 different judges, which are just leaders that lead the people of Israel. And then we get to this point here, which we were talking about in this series. What is it? Hit something now. Interesting. Where we're talking about the kings. And we started this series because the people were not happy with the judges and God leading them. And said, we want a king like everyone else. And God says, no, you don't. And they say, yes, we do. He says, fine, you're going to regret it. So he gives them Saul. And that's where we have this review here. So wait, back up, pretend you didn't see that. Okay, so you're going to help me out with kind of the overview of what we've been doing in this series. So we just reviewed. Now we're talking about what we've been talking about in this series. So the first part of the kings, we have, it's S number, D number, S number, D number. Okay, so the first S is what? Please help me out here. Come on. All right, on three, the first person is 1, 2, 3. And the number is? Right, Saul reigned for 40 years. And the next one, the D, so now you're good with here. Now the next one, the D is? And the number was? So David led for 40 years. And then the third, the next one was an S is? And the number was? Right, Solomon ruled for 40 years. And then we have some problems and we have what we call the D is divided. And that lasted for how long? 400 years. So the kingdom was split and we talked about that last week. So that's what we did last week and getting us caught up to where we are. Now, there's a verse here in 1 Kings chapter 9. Yeah, 1 Kings chapter 9. And this was when God was talking to Solomon. He built the temple where God would dwell and the people would worship him as a permanent place. And God said to Solomon, he said, if you or your descendants abandon me and disobey the commands and decrees I have given you, and if you serve and worship other gods, then I will uproot Israel from this land that I have given them. I will reject this temple that I have made holy to honor my name. I will make Israel an object of mockery and ridicule among the nations. He goes on and says, And though this temple is impressive now, all who pass by will be appalled and will gasp in horror. And they will ask, why did the Lord do such terrible things to this land and to this temple? And the answer will be, because his people abandoned the Lord their God, who brought their ancestors out of Egypt, and they worshiped other gods instead, and bowed down to them. So we talked about that was during the life of Solomon, and how Solomon's son Rehoboam decided to go against the will of the people, and Jeroboam rose up and basically started the northern kingdom, and then we have the southern kingdom. And again, I don't have time to get into that. I know you're like, what? You have plenty of time. No. But what happened here is that God said to Solomon, look, this is my temple, and this is your land. And if you follow me and obey me, then things will be good. Because what God wants for us is best. We need to always remember that. And he says to his people, if you follow me and obey me, things will be good. But if you do not, I am going to remove you from this land. You think things are good. I am going to get your attention by getting you out of here to bring you back to following me. And God used people that we call prophets to do that. And so I want to look at the prophets and what a prophet is and all of that. P-R-O-P-H-E-T. First of all, let's talk about the topic. Now, before we talk about the topic, you can leave that there. But a prophet, I want to just dispel this rumor. A prophet was not a fortune teller. We've talked about this a number of times before. They weren't a fortune teller. They weren't a futurist. They didn't have a crystal ball and go, ooh, come in, let me tell you your secrets. They were merely a spokesperson for God. Merely, that's kind of a big deal. But they were a spokesperson for God. And sometimes when God told them to do something, it would include a future event. And so sometimes they did foretell. But mostly they were foretellers. That is not in your outline. That is free. You can take that home with you. Sometimes they foretell, but most of the time, all the time, they were foretellers. Their job was to speak on behalf of God. Now, as we look at the prophets we're going to cover today, their message was basically this. The topic that they covered was repent or regret. repent. And repent, we've talked about this word too. It's a biblical churchy kind of word. And it means to turn the other way. So I'm going this way. I'm hanging out like, whoa, it's time to repent. I'm going to go the other way. I'm feeling a little Michael Jackson going on here. That's not this. Okay. Michael Jackson, we'll put him aside. But we're going to talk about repenting. And repenting means to turn the other way. And God says through these prophets to his people, Solomon, look, all of these different kings and the people there, you need to repent. You're running away from God. You're turning away from God. And it's time to repent and turn back. And the prophet speaking on behalf of God said, you need to repent or you're going to regret it. Because again, God made a promise. God told Solomon, your people don't obey. I'm going to remove them from this land. I'm going to get their attention. Now, don't forget that God also made a promise to David, an unconditional covenant. And God said to David, I will make sure that one of your descendants is on the throne forever. Jesus coming. There, okay, we'll get to that later. But that was the message of the prophet. Their topic was to come to the different people that we'll talk about here and say, repent or you'll regret it. Repent or regret. Repent or regret. Because that was what the message was almost consistently throughout here, to get people's attention on behalf of God. So, their target, who were the prophets speaking? To whom were the prophets speaking? Their target was, of the 17 books of the Bible, of the prophets, I just want to give you the heads up right now, because you're going to be like, how come the numbers don't add up? There are actually 16 prophets, human individuals. One of those prophets, which we'll talk about a little bit later, wrote the book of Lamentations. So there are 17 books that we call the prophets, but there are actually 16 people. So of those 16 people that we'll be covering today, the target, first of all, two of them were to Israel. Now, of this outline, which one is Israel? The one up north or the one down south? North! Israel is the northern kingdom. And so that's why they're here. This is not north, this is up, just in case you're wondering. North is that way. So this is up, that's north. But just for the sake of our spatial relationship issues, we will say that this is north and this is south. So two prophets were sent to Israel. And then there were 11 sent to the southern kingdom, which was called Judah. And again, we talk about the northern kingdom. 10 tribes of Israel were part of this, so they just kept the name Israel. The southern kingdom, two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, stayed and followed Rehoboam and stayed kind of basically, well, as you see with the blue and the there are some good kings here. They were called Judah. They kind of took the name of the biggest tribe, Judah. So 210. But the southern kingdom was two tribes called Judah, as the kingdom of Judah. 11 prophets went to the kingdom of Judah. Now, there's going to be broken down, and this is kind of a spoiler, but you know what? That's okay. We can deal with it. So there's some phrases here that we're not going to necessarily define, maybe not at all today, but just kind of hang on to those phrases and we'll get to them in a little bit. So the first thing is that of those 11 prophets to Judah, 6 of them were sent before captivity. So they were before captivity. Now, what's captivity? We'll talk about that. If you know what that is, then great. If you don't, then that's okay. But let's just say for the most part that this, not the flapping of the arms, that's just weird. But this is before captivity. Okay? So 6 of them were sent before captivity. And then there were 2 sent during captivity, which is here, which we'll talk a little bit more of. That's here. During. Actually, it's a little here, actually. And then there were 6, 4, that'd be 3, were sent after captivity. And that is going to be completely, doesn't make any sense to you right now, but it will in a while. So 2 to Israel, 11 to Judah. Of those 11 to Judah, 6 were before captivity, 2 were during captivity, and 3 were after captivity. And so then we've also got 2 more prophets that were sent, sorry, 3 more prophets. Go to the next slide there. I think we're good. Yeah, 3 prophets were sent to the nations. So there were, these 3 prophets were sent to other nations, not Israel and not Judah. So, that is basically their target and what they were doing. So, God sent these specific prophets to speak on his behalf as representatives of him with to specific locations with messages that said, you need to repent or you're going to regret it. Repent or regret. Because they needed to come back to God because he is the best. And his way is the best. For us. So that was the target. Now let's talk about the timeline. And you've got nothing here, because what we're going to do is cover all, well, not all, cover 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, minus 4, minus 3. So we're going to cover 13 of them. We're doing all right. We're going to cover 13 of them in the next 30 minutes, which is way better than trying to cover 39 in 40 minutes, which we did last week. So what I need volunteers as well this week. This time I only need, well, what did I just say, 13? I need 13 volunteers. If you were not up here last week, if you were not helping last week, would you please come and sit on the front row if you want to help? If you were not up here already, just sit on the front row. Did I see other hands back there? Anybody else was not? If you were not helping last week and you want to volunteer this week, just have a seat in the front row. So that's two. Okay, so I need a little bit more than two. All right, so we got three, so now I need 10. All you're going to need to do is just stand up and help me out. Wait. If you did not do it last week, just want to make sure we cover anybody that wasn't up here last week first, because this is a chance. All right, grab another one. Okay. All right, good. I need nine more volunteers to come up. So just come on up and over here. Just sit right there where it says do not sit, exactly where you're supposed to sit. All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I need three more. No, that's okay. I said people can come up now. Okay. 12. Yeah. Just scoot over. Squish together. Be friends. All right. I think that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I need one more. One more. Anybody? All right. Maybe I miscounted here. Sorry, Shelby, why don't you stay there? And you'll be my reserve if I counted wrong. Okay, so if I need someone, you're going to come right up. Okay, all right, so cool. This is good. And we will start at this end. So we're going to start with you. Okay, but we'll get to you in a second. So all of these prophets, what we're going to do now is... Carrie, would you mind... I can't do it myself. Okay. I did get some in preparation. I did prepare, so if you have a few ahead of time. So, now, let's talk about these prophets. You've got the timeline. We're going to basically break them down and give them, a couple of phrases to help you remember them a little bit. Some of them you probably know really well. Some of them you think you know really well. Some of them you don't know at all. And the band's going to help us out with a few of them over the next couple of weeks as well. So that's exciting. But we're going to go in chronological order, which means in order of time, not biblical order, which means not in the order of the Bible, the prophets in the Bible, which the order of the prophets in the Bible are Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Leviticus. Now, we're not going to go in that order. We're going to go in the order of time, where they actually appeared on the world, in the world and in history. So the first prophet is Obadiah. So can Obadiah, would you please come up here, sweetheart, and just stand here? Now, a prophet, because of the word prophet, right? What does prophet mean? What does prophet mean? Come, speak it up. Speak up. What does prophet mean? Someone is... Yes, that's exactly right. Teach your kids that when you get home. It's a... No, come on, seriously. What is a prophet? A spokesman for God. Wrong. Prophet is when you make money. Right? When you make some money, so why don't you just hold up the green there? All right, hold that up there. Yeah. We can leave some of the money on the ground because we're just rolling in it. All right. And you feeling here? Here we go. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Keep them on there. Good. And a little bit of bling. There. Now, that is profit. Yeah, kind of. Good. Actually, that's not true, because a prophet was a spokesperson for God. That's a P-R-O-F-I-T, which is a different word. And we good here? All right. So what I need you to do is a prophet was actually a spokesperson for God. They spoke out loud. And so you're going to tell us your name, which is?
Obadiah.
That wasn't very prophetic, though. He was like some long intensity.
Obadiah. Obadiah.
That was pretty good. That was pretty good. So the prophet Obadiah, and the prophet Obadiah was actually.
I have one finger. All
right, prophet Obadiah. He actually, I saw him here. He took place during the reign of Jehoram. Jehoram, and. Yeah, okay. It was during Jehoram, and Jehoram is the same guy. He actually doesn't really fit either here because he prophesied to Edom. And the issue with Edom was that they... Oh, here we go. I knew I had notes here somewhere because everything crashed last week. So I'm on paper. Look at this. It's crazy. So he was during the reign of Jehoram, and Jehoram had tummy trouble, if you remember last week. And he actually prophesied to Edom. Edom was the nation... To where he was sent to speak. Sorry, you're a guy. He told Edom that they're going to be destroyed because they were mocking Jerusalem when it was being attacked during this time. So he went to Edom. His little phrase is Edom eradicated because they're going to be destroyed. God says, you are making fun of Jerusalem, which is where the capital of Judah, the place where the temple was, and you were making fun of that. So you can just just put all your stuff right there and we'll get the next prophet. That'll work. All right. So you can just take your stuff and then have a seat. Because unlike the kings, nobody's killing you like we did last week. So you can just go have a seat. Actually, go sit with your family. You go sit back. Yeah. All right. Now next, can you see the screen there? Okay. Put your wine in. It's hot. Okay, the next one is Joel. The next prophet is Joel. So come on up, Joel. Not Joel, but Joel. Yep, next in line. Get your prophet gear on. Gear up for as a prophet, right? All right, you got to go faster than that. But Joel, what I want to tell you about him is that he was talking about in the time of Joel where he went to Judah, there was actually a huge locust invasion. And Joel went to Judah on behalf of God and said, look, guys, you think that locust invasion was bad. You ain't seen nothing yet. Because if you don't turn back to God, if you don't repent, there is going to be an invasion that's not like anything you've ever seen before. The locusts are the least of your problems. So squeeze all that into two lines. Keep you busy for a little bit. But the message of Joel was that locusts are the least of your problems. If you don't turn back to God, someone else is going to come in and invade you. And it's going to be way worse than locusts. And so again, prophet was one that spoke on behalf of God. So say Joel is your name.
Joel.
Joel. Feeling very prophetic. Very good. All right. Excellent. All right. So Joel, he took place during the reign of Joash. So he was down here and shared that message. The people had the locust invasion. And you can de-prophetize. And... So that was Joel. Now moving on to the next one, Jonah. Now we think we know Jonah. So Jonah, come on up and get your gear on. We think we know Jonah, and of course you know the story. You probably heard he was the guy that was swallowed by the whale. Well, technically the Bible doesn't even say whale; it just says large fish. So for what it's worth, we just have added that because we assume it was a big fish. It must be a whale, and a fish is a mammal. People, biology. Come on. Okay. So Jonah, he was one of the, now Obadiah was one of the ones sent to the nations. Jonah was one of the other prophets sent to the nations. And give us a good prophetic Jonah.
Jonah
had a chest cold. And Jonah thought he was Batman. But Jonah took place during the reign of Joash as well. But he wasn't sent to Judah. He was sent to Nineveh, which we probably heard of that. Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. That's going to become a big deal in a little while, probably next week, looking at the time. So he was sent to Assyria, and the issue with him is that this book really isn't about a guy getting swallowed by a fish. The book is really about a bitter, whining guy that threw a fit when Nineveh turned away from their sin, and he was upset. And if you actually read through the rest of the book of Jonah, beyond the first chapter, you see that he went to Nineveh, which is the capital of Syria, to the Assyrians, and said, God said he's going to destroy your city if you don't turn back. And they're like, oh, well, then let's turn to God. And then Jonah sat on a hill waiting for God to destroy the city, and he was bitter because God didn't. And so there's more about Jonah's heart and his attitude than it is about the fish, which is kind of wild. I know that. That's a little different. But it was all about a fishy fit. He threw a fit because things didn't go away. You can deprophetize. Have a seat. And now moving on to Amos. I need another prophet here. Thank you. Amos, get geared up. Now, Amos was sent to Israel, which is the northern kingdom, during the time of Jeroboam the second. All right, say Amos.
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 All right, Amos, he was sent to the northern kingdom of Israel during the reign of Jeroboam the second, who's up here. He's the king of Israel. And his message to Israel, now here's what you need to understand. Again, the red means that they were wicked kings. The blue means that they were good kings. And during the time of Jeroboam, things were not good spiritually, but they were prospering. They were doing well. And Amos warned them, look, you think that things are going well. You think you've got it all. But if you don't turn to God, it's going to cost you. It's a prosperity plunge. Because they're going to get caught up in the fact that they don't need God because they've got everything they need. They've got their prosperity, and they don't need God. So they had the message of Amos was a prosperity plunge, a warning that that would happen. All right, you can I don't want to say disrobe, that would be the wrong word. So if I say that correctly, but deprophetize. Now the next prophet, actually, could you switch with Isaac? This next one's kind of important. So, all right, sorry, man. Sorry, Kirk. Hannah. All right, go ahead and get your gear on. Now we're going to talk about Hosea. Hosea is the next prophet, and Hosea was sent. Oh, thank you. Hosea was sent to Israel, and Hosea had a specific message. Say Hosea.
Hosea.
Intense. Hosea had a pretty miserable life because God told Hosea to marry a prostitute, and to marry this woman, and she was going to turn her back. Get her camera shot. She was going to turn away from Hosea, and God was going to use her as an example to Israel during the reign of Jeroboam the second, that just like she keeps turning her back on Hosea, that's what Israel is going to do to me. And just like Hosea kept loving her, that's what I am going to do for Israel. I'm not going to stop loving you, because love means sometimes punishment to bring you back to what really matters. So that was Hosea. And we did a series on Hosea called, you can deprophetize, called Hosea, It's Complicated. And you can find that at mc3church.org, where we talked about the life of Hosea for an entire series and his relationship with Gomer and all of that. So now you can come up. I just didn't want you marrying a prostitute. Sorry. Isaac, it's Kirk, you know. There. yeah, so go ahead and get your gear on. Now we're going to talk about the next prophet here is Isaiah. Isaiah, thank you. You feeling prophecy? Okay, wait. Say Isaiah.
Isaiah.
That was good. I felt the intensity there. Yeah. Isaiah's message was sent to Judah, and Isaiah was actually sent to the cities of Judah. He was kind of the urban, he was the educated guy. There was another one sent to Royal, which we'll talk about in a second. And he actually started his time during the reign, there we go, of Uzziah. And if you remember last week, we talked about how Hezekiah was added a couple years of his life, and Isaiah was the one that God spoke through to Hezekiah to add some time to his life. But it was during he started his time during the reign of Uzziah, also known as Azariah. And he went to Judah. The message of Isaiah, there's a lot of ayahs here, sorry. The message of Isaiah was that because of your sin, there's going to be suffering. But through suffering, there will be salvation. And Isaiah has lots of passages, prophetic, speaking about the coming king, son of David, who would be reigning on the throne, the suffering servant, also known as Jesus. In your prime groups this week, assuming it doesn't snow 20-some inches, you will meet and have a chance to discuss Isaiah as one of the prophets you'll be looking at in your prime groups this week, to look at that idea of the suffering servant. So Isaiah's message was sin, suffering, salvation. Please turn back, return, repent, or there will be regret But even in through that, there's going to be salvation. There is hope in Jesus. So thank you. You may drop your garb. Then the next prophet here was, come on up, get your stuff on there, was Micah. Wait, yeah, get some of the prophet. Oh, yeah, I feel that. Okay, so give me some Micah.
Micah.
Okay. All right. So we got some Micah there. And Micah, now he was sent to Judah, but it was to the rural people of Judah. He was sent to the farms and the outlying lands. And his message was one of fixing the injustice issues that were going on. Because there was a lot of injustice. There was corruption. There was all sorts of political issues. And he gave an injustice injunction. An injunction is just a warning. Fix this. Get out of the injustice. Stop it. And that was a message to Judah, which is the south, during Jotham, which is over here, from his life through the time of Hezekiah. He kept prophesying. And so that was the message of Micah. And you can de-bling there. And we did a series just a couple months ago looking at a specific passage in Micah. We call that series The Requirement. It was from Micah, 6:8, which talked about what does God require to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. So that was Micah. That was the requirement series. And then the next prophet, come on up here. Now the next prophet was Nahum. Oh, is it right here? Say Nahum.
Nahum.
That'll work. Give it like a ha.
Nahum.
Okay, that'll work. Okay, so Nahum, he was sent. Now he was the third prophet sent to the nations, and it was actually during the reign of Manasseh, and over here, and he was sent to. We'll just put him down here. He was sent to Nineveh. Or Assyria, Nineveh again being the capital. Now, during Jonah's time, he went to took the message to Assyria. The people repented and turned away from their sin, and God let them go for a while and said, okay, this is good. Thank you. This is good. Well, by Nahum's time, Assyria had completely turned away. They weren't even really close to God in the first place. And God said, look, you guys, there is going to be someone that's going to come in here, and they're going to take you down. Now, at this time, as we'll see next week, Assyria, they were the ones in control. They were the world power. And they're like, ain't no way that's happening. And Nahum was like, yes, yes it will. Because of your sin and your complete disregard for anything that God wants and has to say, you guys are going to be assaulted and you're going to go down. You think you're everything now, but you're going down. Someone is coming along to make that happen. So that was Nahum. You can de-bling. And let's get one more up here for a moment. Zephaniah. Now, Zephaniah, he was also sent to the kingdom of Judah. And say Zephaniah.
Zephaniah.
Well, there was some authority there. I felt that. There was definitely some prophetic authority speaking on behalf of God. Zephaniah was sent to Judah. It's kind of a very small book. Again, it's a minor prophet from Zephaniah. And it was during the reign of Josiah. And as we talked about last week, Josiah was a great reformer. That's why he's in blue here. He turned people back to God, and Zephaniah was probably a big part of that. And one of the messages of Zephaniah was this phrase, the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord that is often used in the New Testament, but it was about this moment when God was going to make everything right. And so Zephaniah was looking forward, speaking to Judah, saying, look, guys, the day of the Lord is coming. The day is coming when things are going to be made right, and your sin needs to be dealt with. And then God is going to do that ultimately through His Son Jesus during the day of the Lord. So that is the story of Zephaniah. You can have a seat. And the band is actually going to help us out a little bit here and maybe give you a little bit more of an overview of the life of Zephaniah. So why don't we hit the house lights and they can take it away. You can't do an 80s series without bringing some Bryan Adams into the mix here. So that was Zephaniah, who, if you read through his little, genealogy there, it says that he was the great-great-grandson of Hezekiah, which would make him the cousin to Zephaniah and to Josiah. There we go. Those two guys were cousins. So, Zephaniah, we need the next person up here to be our next prophet. Come on up. Grab your gear. So, the next prophet we've got here, again, in chronological order, going in the order of when it happened. There you go. You feeling blingy? All right. Was Jeremiah. Jeremiah. Do you want to say Jeremiah? Oh, wait. I didn't turn the mic. Here, try it now. You try it again.
Jeremiah.
Hey, there we go. Which is kind of appropriate because Jeremiah's life was not so good as a prophet. And they're getting a picture there. Make sure you get there. Give them a picture. Smile, wait. Okay. No. All right. Good. Very good impression of Jeremiah. Jeremiah's life was miserable. Jeremiah loved God. He loved his nation. He loved the kingdom that he worked for. Worked for, I don't know if that's the best word. But he loved where he lived. He loved his people. And basically his message to Judah during the life of Josiah, which they just sung about Jeremiah a little bit, was that it was a message of doom and then personal gloom for Jeremiah, because at this point the people had turned so far from God that God said, look, that's it. You people are going to be taken away. Now, obviously we talked last week about how Syria ripped the kingdom away from the northern. They were gone. Gone, gone, gone. No more to be existing ever again. But Jeremiah had this message, and it was a hard life for him. It was a hard knock life. And so his message was of doom, and it was gloom because he was personally sad. He wrote a book called Lamentations, which is one of the major prophets. And lament means to weep, to mourn, to cry. And so that was the book, and that's the one I was saying. That's the one of the major prophets that was actually not a person. So Jeremiah had the book of Jeremiah and then the book of Lamentations that he wrote. And that was his story. His message to Judah was that, look, God says that it's too late. That's it. Nope, you people are not following me. God is going to remove. He's going to do what he said to Solomon, and he's going to remove us from the land. And so he wasn't too happy about that. Not the most encouraging message. So you can drop your stuff. And now we're moving on to the next prophet. Come on up. And this was, thank you. This was Habakkuk. Habakkuk, his story was, Habakkuk took place during the time of Jehoahaz. And we need to make sure you say Habakkuk first. You know, be prophetic here.
Habakkuk.
Yes, Habakkuk was a nice guy. Actually, Habakkuk's life was a his issue was Habakkuk was during the reign of Jehoahaz over here, and again God said to Jeremiah, "That's it. The people have disobeyed. They've rebelled." And Habakkuk's going, God, why are these people, why are my people not following you? Things are bad. God, where are you? And so he was raising these complaints about God's control. And Habakkuk is built around these different complaints that Habakkuk shares with God and says, what's going on? And why aren't the people of Judah following you anymore? And God says, oh, you think that's bad? You ain't seen nothing yet. Because I am raising up a kingdom that is going to destroy, that's going to remove you people from your land. And the nation that he was talking about, at this point, there's the nation of Assyria, which we talked about. They had destroyed the northern kingdom. They were the world power still. And God said, there's someone coming that's going to be even bigger and even and harder. And so the book of Habakkuk is his complaints about control. And the beauty of the book of Habakkuk is that by the end, he realizes, you know what? God is in control. And I can trust him no matter what. He said, the Lord is on his throne. Let all the earth be silent before him. Doesn't mean we have to like it. Doesn't mean it's easy. Doesn't mean we ignore it. But that God is in control. You can deep link. We talked about Habakkuk in a series called Wounded a couple of years ago. You can find that online at mc3church.org. And there we did look at these different complaints of Habakkuk and spent 4 weeks looking at, you know, why do bad things happen? And where is God in the midst of hard times? So that was called Wounded. And again, you can find that at mc3church.org. And why don't you please come on up? If I did my math, did not do my math right. All right, I'm going to need you, Shelby. And my next prophet, which you probably are also aware of, probably heard of him before, is Daniel. Say Daniel.
Daniel.
Daniel, very good. All right, did you get a picture? Okay. All right. Daniel. Now, Daniel was also sent to Judah, but now we need to kind of interrupt the story about what's going on with Daniel. Again, you're probably aware of the lion's den thing, maybe the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fiery furnace deal. But that was just kind of a small part of the story of Daniel. And Daniel, if you remember here, this Jehoiakim was called Babylon Bye-Bye 1. Jehoiachin was called Babylon Bye-Bye 2. And Zedekiah was Babylon Bye-Bye 3. Because at this point, Assyria was wiped out by Babylon. And they were coming in and they had removed Jehoiakim and a bunch of the people to their land. And we'll talk about why they did that next week. So there's part of your outline we're not going to complete. You'll have to deal. I think I can. But the different times, the first time they removed some of the people from the land, and then they put Jehoiachin in charge. They removed some more from the land because he turned against Babylon. You know, go figure. And then eventually Zedekiah, and they said, that's enough. And so they completely removed the people from the land. And again, we'll talk about that. But Daniel took place during the life of Jehoiakim. However,
I'll put it down here, I guess.
Daniel prophesied to Judah, but he was in Babylon. He was one of the group of people that were removed from the land. So even though Israel, or Judah was still around and Jerusalem was still going on, Daniel and a group of Israelites, Judahites, they start to become the same word later, so I don't want to confuse you with that. But basically, this people were removed to the land of Babylon. Daniel was there with them and prophesied and spoke on behalf of God to the people in Babylon. And his message was a forecast on the future. And he was talking now. He did a lot of foretelling as he was foretelling. But his message was about the future because he said, God told him, look, we are in this land of Babylon, not the land of Israel, not the land that God promised us. But we'll be here for 70 years. God says that. 70 years you will be here, and then we will return to our land. He also talked about a whole bunch of things about the future and the end of times and all of that. But it was Daniel was basically trying to encourage the people in Babylon to say, look, we're not done yet. Don't forget, God made a promise to David. God's not done with us. God's not done with you. So that was Daniel's message. It was a forecast on the future. Thank you, Kandeep Ling. Shelby, why don't you come on up here because I do need you. That's a word now, de-bling. Yep. Next week. Okay, so then finally, what? That'll work. Oh, there you go. Well done. Get some of your dough, your cash. Wow, rolling in it, all two of them. All right, so you are Ezekiel. Say Ezekiel.
Ezekiel.
You want to do it with a little more authority? No, okay. All right. Ezekiel was also, he spoke to the people of Judah, but also in Babylon. He came during Jehoiachin. He actually was deported, was removed from Judah to Babylon with the second time, and he spoke to the people there and said, look, guys, we have not followed God. As a people, we have not followed God. And the capital, with an O-L, I think I did it the right way, will crumble. Jerusalem is going down. And the people are like, no way, this isn't going to happen. And he says, yes, God promised that it will. Now, God's not done. The story's not over. But that was Ezekiel's message to the Jews, the people of Judah in Babylon, that Jerusalem is going down. And it did. In 586 B.C., Babylon came in and completely destroyed the temple in Jerusalem and wiped them out. So, as far as prophets, you can have a seat. There are three more to come. Three more to come. I think that's what on the next screen. And I have more content, but we're going to stop there. Because I have some extra time next week. I have some extra time next week, and we're going to talk about what happens next and where we go after this. But this, we have just covered all 39 kings of Israel and Judah, and then 13 of the 16 prophets. So that's like a lot of the Bible. So go back home real quick. When you get in your car, when you get home, you're sitting eating lunch, just read all of that. During lunch, just read through all these different kings and prophets, and you'll see that we did cover a lot of content over the last 2 weeks. But the story isn't over. We're not done. God's not done. Because there's more to happen. He never forgot his promise to David. And, of course, he's kept his promise to Solomon. because they did not obey. He's going to punish them so that they return to him. So that's where we'll stop right now.